folks, I'm sorry, but you may not get out of here in time to beat the rush. But that's okay. You beat them last week and the week before and the week before that. This week, we're going to take our time. Like I said, we're going to do things a little different. Our passage of scripture this morning is found in 1 Chronicles. 1 Chronicles, chapter number 28, verse number 20. 1 Chronicles 28 and 20. And I'm sorry I didn't look up to see what page it was on in the small print edition or the big print edition. But 1 Chronicles comes right before 2 Chronicles. If you have the same Bible I've got, it's on page number 648. And that's a large print edition. Because as the days go by, the print just keeps getting smaller and smaller and smaller. 1 Chronicles 28, verse number 20. And David said to Solomon his son, "Be strong and of good courage, and do it. Fear not, nor be dismayed, for the Lord God, even my God, will be with thee. He will not fail thee nor forsake thee until thou hast finished all the work for the service of the house of the Lord." Father, this morning, it's my prayer that you would take this small portion of Scripture and begin to implant it deeply within the hearts of every individual that's here. Lord, it doesn't matter from the youngest to the oldest. Let this word come alive within them. And Lord, we will thank you and praise you. And it's in your name that we pray. Amen. Now, our text this morning has to do with the final words of exhortation that King David was giving to his son Solomon, who was just about ready to ascend to the throne and become the king of Israel. He had just been appointed as his successor, and David was in the process of giving Solomon his plans and directions to build the temple. David was a warrior king. And David had always desired in his heart to build a permanent structure, a permanent resting place for the Ark of the Covenant, for the presence of God, to be with them there in the city of Jerusalem. But God spoke to David and told him that he had been a warrior king, that he had shed much blood, and that he would not build the temple, but his son Solomon would be a king of rest, and he would be the one who would build the resting place for God. It was kind of a headship passing. We don't see a lot of that today, you know, take place in our lifetime, unless maybe you're in a country that has a monarchy, you know, where there's a king or a queen, or unless you're a member of the mob, you know, we don't see that headship passing down through the generations from individual to individual. But after all the plans had been given to Solomon, David went on and he challenged him. How many here today? How many would be willing to admit that from time to time you have a tendency to put things off? From time to time, we kind of sidestep things. Well, if so, you are a procrastinator. Very first time I ever heard that word, I was in Bible college. You know, as a kid, we didn't use them big words. It was little things that we talked about. But the first time I heard that, I was in Bible college, and one of the professors said, there are too many students who are procrastinators. I thought, whoo, what's he talking about? What is he calling us? What's he saying to us? I had to look the word up. I had to find a dictionary and look it up to see what it meant. It means to be a postponer. It means to be a delayer. It means one who puts things off. As our main text this morning, I want us to look at verse 20a, with special emphasis being placed on the last two words just before the colon. See, that's how you get A, B, and C of verses. What comes before the first colon is A. What comes before the second one is B. And then what goes to the end is C. That's how the verses are divided up. And those last two words are do it. Mankind in general today has a problem. And that problem is getting done the things that we talk about and the things that we think about. And especially the things that we say we are going to do. Ever have that kind of problem in your life? Maybe not today so far, but probably a few times yesterday and the day before. In a few minutes, I'm going to ask you to do something you may have never done before. And if the word speaks to you today, and you know you have difficulty doing the things that you say, especially in the area of doing what you tell God you're going to do, I'm going to ask you to come here to the front and look to the cross. You can kneel, you can stand, whatever is most comfortable for you. You can sit on the first row, but it's important that you come. You see, some here today have said over and over and over again, next time, Lord. Next time. Next time I'll do it. Next time I'll go forward. Next time I'll follow through. Next time I'll do what you're asking me to do, but not today. Think about it this morning. Think about the time that you've told the Lord you would come, but you haven't. When the message is finished this morning, do it. That's what David said to Solomon. Do it. There's three parts to David's final exhortation to his son Solomon. Those three parts are be strong, be of a good courage, and do it. Now, we're going to look at each of those three this morning for just a few moments. Be strong. Anybody ever tell you to be strong? There's a chorus that we used to sing, be strong, be brave, for the Lord our God is with us. Probably one of the greatest desires of every growing boy, I can speak to that because I were one, I can't speak to what were the greatest desires of girls, but for guys, it was probably to be strong. Maybe you weren't the athletic type. Maybe you weren't all gung-ho about sports and athletics, but you looked at magazines, you see ads on television, and all the guys have these great big bulging muscles. You know, they look like superheroes on steroids. You know, they're just huge and big and brawny looking. And your dream may have been
to be just like them. Well, when I was a youngster, we were living in a town called Mendota, Illinois. And my brother, who was just 13 months older than me, he was always faster. He was always stronger. He was always better looking. He had a set of weights down in the basement at our house, and he'd go down there and he'd work out with them. You could hear the steel kind of clanking around as he was working out with the weights down there in the basement. And then he'd come back upstairs and brag about how much he could lift. Well, one day, thinking to myself that I could stop all of that bragging just by working out myself, off to the basement I went, down the old wooden stairs into the basement, and there it was, laying on the floor in all of its splendor. This black bar had a silver thing in the middle of it, and then there were weights on the end, and I started adding. There was 75 pounds on that bar, plus the weight of the bar. And Dave always told me, well, the bar weighed 25 pounds. So that was 100 pounds. I thought, piece of cake. That's not much at all. So with one great big heave-ho, I walked over to that bar, I bent over, and I grabbed hold of it, and I went, whoop, and shot it right straight up over my head. But I didn't stop there. It kept going back behind me. And before long, the weights and me and everything else in the area was on the floor. David told Solomon, be strong. He didn't mean go out and join a gym. He didn't mean make sure you do your onesies and twosies every day. The strong that's referred to here is to be prepared mentally and morally. When your mind and your morals are in the right place, the rest of your activities start to fall into place. Now, we're not talking about the power of positive thinking or anything else like that. We're talking about setting your thoughts and your affections on the Lord. The world that you and I live in today has a huge problem with its moral compass. Folks, the needle is bent. The magnetic pole has been shifted. It's following some of man's guidelines rather than following God's guidelines. We hear so much talk about progressives today, and we know where that led them. Sodom and Gomorrah were progressive. It led them to fire and brimstone. The progressiveness in the world that we live in today has brought about drugs. You see, we have medical marijuana, and they're pushing now for recreational marijuana all over the place. We have teen pregnancy, we have AIDS, and alarming suicide rates amongst teens and even younger. In talking recently with a school counselor, we were told of the vast numbers of children under fifth grade who are contemplating suicide as a way of escape. Under fifth grade. You know, we know it's tough being a teenager. But have you ever stopped to consider how tough it really must be to be a child today growing up when children under grade 5 are thinking of taking their own lives as a way of escape from the bullying, from the pressures, from the peer pressure, from all of the temptations and things that come their way. To be mentally and morally prepared, we need a true and faithful compass to follow. Our true compass is the Word of God. Psalms 119 and 11 says, "Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee." Psalms 119, 105 says, "Thy word is a lamp to my feet and a light unto my path." His word shines down and shows us where to walk and what to do. Psalms 119, 140 says, "Thy word is very pure. Therefore, thy servant loves it." Build your strength on the Word of God and place your moral bearings in the Word of God. Then you will know that you have found a true compass, a compass that always points to God. But not only be strong, be of good courage. All of us have either seen, heard, or read The Wizard of Oz. The cast of characters in The Wizard of Oz included a scarecrow who needed a brain, a tin man who needed a heart, and a lion who needed courage. The old lion is the one that I want us to use and to see today. Here was the king of the beasts, who couldn't even roar. He was afraid of everything. There wasn't an ounce of courage within him. It couldn't be found in him anywhere. As he started his journey to Oz. In the world that we live in, there are a lot of people who will hide behind anything, hide behind others because they lack courage, just like the lion did. David told Solomon, "Be of good courage," to have the quality of mind that would enable him to face difficulties without worry or fear. David knew. He knew the things that Solomon was going to face as a king. David had been there. He wanted Solomon to learn from his experiences, not to go out and try to do things on his own just so he could learn, but learn from what others had learned. David knew the things that Solomon would face, and there was only one place that courage could come from. That was from within his heart. If Solomon were to enthrone God in his heart, he would have the good courage that David spoke of. If men and women and boys and girls today would enthrone Jesus Christ in their lives, they too will have the courage needed to face every trial, every hardship, every struggle that comes their way in this life. They won't have to go to the Wizard of Oz. They won't have to go to the palm readers, to the Ouija boards, to the tarot cards, or anything else. But they will have good courage because the Lion of Judah is Jesus. He is the one who brings the courage that we need. Not only do we need to be strong, as David was telling Solomon, not only do we need to have good courage and be of good courage, as David instructed his son who was going in to become the king. He said, do it. Just do it. The plans had been given. The words of exhortation were stated. And now all that was left was for Solomon to carry those plans out. Most every day, you and I, we're told to do something. A byline for kids is, in a minute, or I forgot. A byline for adults is, I was just too busy. I was just too busy. I didn't have enough time. All of us in this room this morning have heard the word preached over and over and over again. You've sensed the Holy Spirit working His convicting and convincing power, and you've refused Him. You've backed away from what He's called you to do. You've backed away from what you said you would do. You've backed away from what God is asking of you. You've refused Him. When He said, do it, you went the other way. Well, David's speaking to his son, and I can picture this in my mind, because I have a son, and I talk to him, and we share back and forth. I've had grandsons and other relationships and other men that I've been able to visit with and share with. David told Solomon in today's English, not the King James, not the ESV or the Amplified or any other version, but in us speak, in the way we talk, in the way we hear things, and the way we say things. David said to Solomon, the ball is in your court. It's no longer my turn to take the shot. It's no longer my turn to come up with the answers. It's no longer my time to do these things. The ball is in your court. It's your nickel. How are you going to spend it? It's your nickel. It's up to you. It's up to you. Solomon picked up the challenge. He picked up the challenge and he rose to the task to build the temple, the resting place of God Almighty in Jerusalem, the physical temple that was to be there, where they could bring in the Ark of the Covenant and God's presence would dwell within Jerusalem, in that temple, a fixture that everyone could see. A fixture that didn't have to be moved, but in the homeland, in the place that they called home, he built the temple. Today, each one of us in this room, we have a temple to build. We have a temple to build, not one of sticks and stones and bricks and mortar and steel and things of that nature. But we have a temple for the Holy Spirit. Build it. Build it. Build it according to His plans. God's plan, not ours. God has laid it all out before us. Don't put it off any longer. Even if today is the very first time that you have ever sensed God's Holy Spirit tugging at your heart, do it today. Give Jesus the throne and make Him the King of your life. If you've told him before that you would, and then you let it slide away, then you let it slip out of sight, slip out of mind, do it today. Now's the time. Come. Come and meet him here. Let this very day be the day of follow-through that you've said before, next time. Next time. Maybe later, but not today. Let it be a day of follow-through. Follow-through of your previous commitments. Or let this day be a day of new beginnings. New beginnings for you and for the Lord in your life. I told you a few minutes ago that I was going to ask you to come. That's what I'm doing now. Come. Let this day be a day of follow-through. You've made commitments previously. You've said, Lord, I'll do it. Yes, Lord, I'll follow. Yes, Lord, I'll do whatever you want me to do. But then, other things came up. God called me to be a preacher when I was 12 years old. And let me tell you, for a few years I was gung-ho and excited. I knew what God wanted me to be. But then, life happened. And I became a procrastinator. I let it slide. Let it slip away. Let it disappear even out of my thoughts. But then one day, God made a difference. Let today be a day of difference. In your life, it doesn't matter if you're just in grade school. God still loves you. God still speaks to you. God still reaches out to you. It doesn't matter if you're in high school or if you're in college, if you're just a young married couple. It doesn't matter. God still loves you. And Jesus Christ died for you. Maybe you've said, well, Lord, I know what you're asking me to do. And he's probably not calling most of you to be a preacher. He's probably not calling most of you to be a missionary. He's not saying, oh, I'm going to take this whole group, I'm going to send them all out to be missionaries. Could happen, but more than likely not. God is just calling you to be you. You see, God didn't make duplicates. He doesn't need another Billy Graham. He doesn't need another William Wilberforce. He doesn't need all of these other people to be replicated. He wants you and you and you. Because there are people in this world who need you. And you are the only one who can reach into their hearts and into their lives and show them the goodness of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Have you been a procrastinator? Have you put off what God has asked you to do? I invite you this morning just to come. Just come. Don't be afraid. Don't be bashful. Just come. Allow God to speak into your heart today. Allow God to have his way in your life. Today, let it be a day of follow-through. Let it be a day where you say, yes, Lord. I'm here, and I am willing to do whatever you ask me to do. Maybe it's a first-time commitment. Maybe never before have you ever made a commitment to God. Let today be that day of new beginnings. Hallelujah. What a mighty God we serve. And He sees each and every one of you who have been of a good courage to step out and to come forward. I've shared with our Wednesday night group how for so long I knew God was speaking to my heart, but I was a member of the White Knuckle Club. I stood there and I held on to the pew in front of me, and I would squeeze that pew so hard that my knuckles would turn white, because I knew what God was asking me to do, but I didn't want to do it. It was like, God, I got so many other things. I've got so much other stuff that I want to do. But you know, without God, all of those other things, absolutely nothing. One final opportunity before we pray. One final opportunity. Do you hear Him? Do you feel Him tugging at your heartstrings? Father, we come to You this morning with humble hearts. We come to You this morning, Father, and present to You these, Your children. Lord, they've come. They've been strong, Lord. They've been of a good courage, Lord. And today they are doing it. They're coming forward to make that commitment to You. Some are saying, Lord, I've put it off long enough. Some are saying, Lord, I've backed away from it far too many times. And some are saying, Lord, I hear You loud and clear. And I sense Your Spirit drawing me. Father, I'll be what You want me to be. I'll do what You want me to do. I'll go where You want me to go. Be glorified, Lord, as we present these, Your children, to You. We thank You now, Father, in Jesus' name.